Python has quietly become the backbone of modern computing, powering everything from Instagram and Dropbox to scientific research at CERN and NASA. The Python Cookbook by David Beasley and Brian Jones stands as one of the most influential programming texts of the last decade, with over 500,000 copies sold and endorsements from tech leaders like Guido Van Rossum, Python's creator, who called it indispensable. Unlike typical programming books that teach basics, this cookbook dives into sophisticated patterns and techniques that separate novice coders from true Pythonistas. What makes this book particularly significant is its forward-looking approach. Written at a time when many developers were still clinging to Python 2, it boldly embraces Python 3's modern features and idioms, showing developers how to leverage the language's full power for elegant, efficient solutions to complex problems. Python's built-in data structures form the foundation of its expressive power, and mastering them is essential for writing clean, efficient code. The language provides dictionaries, lists, sets, and tuples that can be combined and manipulated in powerful ways. One of the most elegant features is sequence unpacking, which allows you to extract values from any iterable in a single assignment statement. Instead of accessing elements by index, you can write first, second, third equals some sequence, making your code more readable and less error-prone. This works with any sequence type: tuples, lists, strings, files, and even custom iterators. For handling sequences of unknown length, Python 3 introduced star expressions. You might write first, star, middle, last equals items to capture the first and last elements while collecting everything between them in a list. This pattern proves incredibly useful when processing records with variable fields or when you need to split data while preserving its structure. When working with collections, you often need to track the most recent items. The collections.dq provides an elegant solution by creating a fixed-size queue that automatically discards the oldest items when full. This is perfect for monitoring recent activity in data streams or implementing simple first-in, first-out data structures. Unlike lists, dequeues provide O1 performance for operations at either end. For finding extreme values, the HeapQueue module offers specialized functions that outperform manual sorting. Functions like nLargest and nSmallest efficiently find the nLargest or smallest items in a collection, which is much faster than sorting the entire sequence when n is small. Dictionaries in Python are incredibly versatile. When you need to map keys to multiple values, collections.default automatically initializes the first value for missing keys, eliminating messy exception handling. For preserving insertion order, Ordered Dictionary maintains keys in the sequence they were added, a feature so useful it eventually became standard behavior for all dictionaries in Python 3.6+. When working with multiple dictionaries, you can use set operations on their keys or items views to find commonalities or differences. For example, a.keys and b.keys finds keys in common, while a.keys minus b.keys finds keys in A that aren't in B. These data structure techniques form the vocabulary of Pythonic code, code that leverages the language's built-in capabilities to express complex operations clearly and concisely. By mastering these patterns, you transform from writing code that merely works to code that's elegant, efficient, and distinctly Python. Text processing is at the heart of many programming tasks, and Python provides a rich toolkit for manipulating strings with precision and elegance. While simple operations use built-in string methods, more complex patterns leverage the power of regular expressions and specialized modules. When splitting text on multiple delimiters, the standard split method falls short. Instead, re.split accepts a regular expression pattern that can include all possible delimiters. re.split r semicolon comma space space star elegantly splits on commas, semicolons, or whitespace. This approach is far more flexible than chaining multiple split calls. For matching text at the beginning or end of strings, Python provides the intuitive starts with and ends with methods. What makes these methods particularly powerful is their ability to accept tuples of possible matches. Filename.endswith.jpg.jpeg.png checks for any of these extensions in a single readable line. This is both clearer and faster than equivalent regular expressions for simple cases. Regular expressions shine when you need more complex pattern matching. After compiling a pattern with re.compile, you can use match to check if a pattern appears at the start of a string, or find all to locate all occurrences. For extracting specific parts of match text, capture groups created with parentheses in the pattern provide a powerful tool. When working with Unicode text, normalization is crucial since characters can have multiple valid representations. The unicodedata.normalize function standardizes text using forms like NFC for fully composed characters or NFD for decomposed characters with combining marks. This ensures that visually identical strings compare as equal, even if they're encoded differently. For text alignment, Python offers both string methods, ljust, rjust, center, and the more versatile format function. The latter uses alignment specifiers like -10 for right alignment or -20 for centering, and works with any value type, not just strings. When joining strings, the join method provides the most efficient approach. By calling it on your desired separator, a.joinParts, you avoid the inefficiency of repeated string concatenation with plus. For large-scale string building, consider using generator functions that emit fragments, allowing for memory-efficient processing. String interpolation becomes elegant with format and format map. The latter is particularly useful with vars to substitute variables from the current scope. The name is age, years old, dot format map vars. This creates readable templates without repetitive variable assignments. These string manipulation techniques exemplify Python's philosophy of providing both simple tools for common cases and powerful abstractions for complex scenarios. By understanding when to use each approach, you can write code that handles text with both elegance and efficiency. Python's iteration system represents one of its most distinctive and powerful features. Iterators and generators allow you to work with data sequences efficiently, even when those sequences are huge or even infinite. They form the backbone of Python's memory-efficient data processing capabilities. At the core of Python's iteration protocol are two simple methods. __iter returns an iterator object, and __next advances it to the next value or raises stop iteration when exhausted. While you rarely call these directly, understanding them helps you grasp how iteration works under the hood. Generator functions provide an elegant way to create iterators without implementing the full protocol. By using yield statements instead of return, a function can produce values one at a time while maintaining its state between calls. For example, a simple range-like function for floating-point values might look like this: def frange start stop increment x equals start while x is less than stop yield x x equals increment. This creates an iterator that generates values on demand without storing the entire sequence in memory. The presence of yield transforms an ordinary function into a generator that pauses at each yield point and resumes when requested. For complex data structures like trees, generators offer an elegant way to implement traversal algorithms. Instead of maintaining complex state about the traversal process, you can use recursive generator functions that yield from each child's traversal. This approach produces clean, readable code that efficiently walks through even the most complex nested structures. When you need to process items from multiple iterables simultaneously, the zip function creates an iterator producing tuples containing items from each sequence. This enables elegant parallel iteration for name, age, city in zip names, ages, cities. When iterables have different lengths, zip stops at the shortest one, but itertools.ziplongest continues until all are exhausted, filling in missing values with none. The iterTools module provides powerful functions for creating and manipulating iterators. With chain, you can combine multiple iterables into a single sequence. Using iSlice, you can take a slice of an iterator without loading everything into memory. Functions like dropWhile and takeWhile let you filter sequences based on conditions, while permutations and combinations generate all possible arrangements or selections from a set of items. Perhaps most powerfully, generators enable the creation of data processing pipelines, where each stage transforms data incrementally without loading everything into memory. By chaining generator functions together, you can process huge data sets that wouldn't fit in RAM, with each function acting as a filter, mapper, or reducer in a memory-efficient workflow. This iterator-based approach to data processing represents a fundamental shift from traditional imperative programming. Rather than explicitly looping through data and maintaining state variables, you compose functions that transform data streams. The result is code that's not just more memory efficient, but often more readable and maintainable as well. Python's file handling capabilities strike a perfect balance between simplicity for common tasks and flexibility for complex scenarios. Whether you're working with text files, binary data, or specialized formats, Python provides clean abstractions that make I/O operations straightforward. For basic text file operations, the built-in open function with mode RT, read text, or WT, write text, handles most needs. Files can be read entirely as a string with read, processed line by line in a for loop, or written to with write. Python automatically handles encoding, defaulting to UTF-8, and new line translation between different platforms. When working with binary data, like images or executable files, use mode RB or WB. Binary mode operations return and accept bytes objects rather than strings, with no encoding or new line translation. For maximum efficiency when reading binary data into pre-allocated buffers, the readInto method reads directly into a mutable buffer like a byte array, avoiding unnecessary copies. For advanced binary file access, the mmap module allows memory mapping files into mutable byte arrays. This technique provides random access to large files without loading them entirely into memory, as the operating system handles paging data in and out as needed. Memory mapped files behave like byte arrays, but write changes back to the original file automatically. When working with compressed data, the gzip and bz2 modules provide file-like objects that transparently handle compression and decompression. Simply replace open with gzip.open or bz.open and specify the appropriate mode. These functions can also layer compression on top of existing file objects opened in binary mode. For temporary files and directories that clean themselves up automatically, the tempfile module offers several functions. Temporary file creates unnamed files that are automatically deleted when closed, while named temporary file creates files with visible names in the file system. Temporary directory creates directories that are removed when the context manager exits. Path manipulation is another essential aspect of file operations. Rather than using error-prone string operations, the os.path module provides functions like join, dirname, basename, and splittext that handle platform-specific path formatting. For even more powerful path manipulation, the pathlib module introduced in Python 3.4 offers an object-oriented approach with methods for all common operations. For serializing Python objects to disk, the pickle module provides a convenient way to save and restore nearly any Python object. While perfect for temporary storage or inter-process communication, pickle isn't recommended for long-term archival storage or untrusted data due to security implications. For these cases, standardized formats like JSON, XML, or CSV are better choices. These file and I/O capabilities reflect Python's pragmatic approach to programming. By providing high-level abstractions that handle common details automatically while still allowing access to lower-level operations when needed, Python makes data manipulation both accessible and powerful. Functions in Python are remarkably versatile, going far beyond simple subroutines to become powerful tools for abstraction and code organization. Understanding their advanced features allows you to write more elegant, flexible code with less repetition. One of Python's most distinctive function features is its flexible parameter system. Using star args and double quargs, you can write functions that accept any number of positional or keyword arguments. This pattern is perfect for creating wrapper functions or APIs that need to pass arguments through to other functions. For even more clarity, Python 3 introduced keyword-only arguments placed after a star in the parameter list, which must be specified by name rather than position. Function annotations provide a way to attach metadata to parameters and return values. While Python doesn't enforce these annotations, they serve as documentation and can be used by third-party tools for type checking or code analysis. For example, def add x, int y, int returns int suggests that both parameters and the return value should be integers. Closures, functions that capture variables from their containing scope, enable powerful programming patterns. When a function is defined inside another function, it remembers the environment where it was created, even after the outer function has completed. This allows for elegant techniques like creating customized functions on the fly or maintaining state between calls without using class instances. For situations where you need to reduce the number of arguments in a callable, functools.partial creates a new function with some arguments pre-filled. This technique is particularly useful for adapting functions to interfaces that expect a specific signature, like sorting operations or callback handlers. When functions need to maintain state between calls, several approaches are available. Class methods naturally store state in instance variables, but closures offer a more lightweight alternative by capturing and modifying non-local variables. For complex state management in asynchronous code, generators with yield statements provide a clean way to maintain state while yielding control back to the caller. Decorators represent one of Python's most elegant features, allowing you to modify or enhance functions without changing their code. A decorator is simply a function that takes another function as input and returns a modified version. This pattern enables clean separation of concerns for aspects like logging, timing, access control, or caching. For example, a timing decorator might look like this. Function time this def wrapper star args double quargs start time.time result func star args double quargs end time.time print func.name end.start return result return wrapper. Applied with the @timeThis syntax, this decorator adds timing capabilities to any function without cluttering its implementation code. These function techniques showcase Python's functional programming capabilities while maintaining its readable, pragmatic style. By leveraging these patterns, you can write code that's not just shorter, but more expressive, focusing on what you're trying to accomplish rather than how the language works. Python's object-oriented features strike a balance between power and simplicity, providing a flexible system for creating abstractions without excessive boilerplate. While Python supports traditional OOP patterns, it also embraces a more dynamic, protocol-based approach that focuses on behavior rather than rigid hierarchies. At the core of Python's OOP system are special methods, sometimes called dunder methods for their double underscore naming. These methods customize how objects behave in various contexts. For example, implementing underscore string and underscore rep controls how objects appear when printed or displayed in the interpreter. The underscore rep method should ideally return code that could recreate the object, while underscore string provides a more readable representation. For customizing string formatting, the underscore format method hooks into Python's string formatting system. This allows objects to interpret format codes in any way you choose, enabling elegant syntax like hotel date colon ymd dot format date equal my date to format dates in different styles. The context management protocol, implemented through underscore enter and underscore exit methods, allows objects to be used with the with statement. This pattern is perfect for resources that need proper cleanup, like file handles, network connections, or locks. The underscore enter method runs when the with block begins, and underscore exit runs when it completes, even if exceptions occur. For memory optimization in classes that primarily store data, the underscore slots attribute replaces the dictionary-based instance representation with a more compact structure. This can reduce memory usage by over 50% for classes with many instances, though it comes with limitations, like preventing the addition of new attributes. Properties provide a clean way to customize attribute access without changing how the attributes are used in code. By defining getter, setter, and optional deleter methods with the at property decorator, you can add validation, computation, or other logic that runs automatically when attributes are accessed, set, or deleted. When working with inheritance, the super function provides a way to call methods from parent classes. Unlike direct parent class references, super follows Python's method resolution order, MRO, making it work correctly with multiple inheritance. This approach ensures that each method in the inheritance chain is called exactly once, avoiding duplicate calls or missed methods. For creating reusable behaviors that can be mixed into multiple classes, mix-in classes provide a flexible alternative to deep inheritance hierarchies. These classes implement specific behaviors but aren't meant to be instantiated directly. For example, a logged mapping mixin might add logging to dictionary operations, while a set once mapping mixin could prevent overwriting keys. These can be combined with standard classes through multiple inheritance to create customized behaviors. When implementing objects that operate in different states, the state pattern avoids cluttering code with conditionals. Instead of embedding state checks throughout methods, each state is encoded as a separate class with appropriate behaviors. The main object then delegates operations to the current state object, making the code more maintainable by isolating state-specific logic. These object-oriented patterns demonstrate Python's pragmatic approach to programming. Rather than forcing a single paradigm, Python provides tools that let you choose the right level of abstraction for each problem, from simple functions to full-featured class hierarchies. Metaprogramming, code that manipulates or generates other code, represents one of Python's most powerful capabilities. While it requires careful use, metaprogramming enables elegant solutions to problems that would otherwise require repetitive, error-prone code. Decorators form the most accessible entry point to metaprogramming. A decorator is a function that accepts another function as input and returns a modified version. This pattern enables clean separation of concerns for aspects like logging, timing, or access control. The @wraps decorator from FunkTools helps preserve the original function's metadata, ensuring that documentation tools and introspection work correctly with decorated functions. For more complex scenarios, class decorators provide a way to modify entire classes. By accepting a class object and returning a modified version, these decorators can add methods, change attributes, or wrap existing functionality. This approach is often cleaner than alternatives like mixins or metaclasses when you need to modify a class definition. Metaclasses represent Python's most advanced metaprogramming tool. A metaclass is essentially a class's class. It defines how a class behaves. By overriding methods like underscore new or underscore init in a metaclass, you can control how classes are created and initialized. This allows for powerful patterns like automatically registering subclasses, enforcing coding conventions, or creating domain-specific languages. For capturing the order in which attributes are defined in a class, a metaclass can use an ordered dict in its underscore prepare method. This technique is valuable for operations like serialization or ORM mapping, where attribute order matters. Similarly, metaclasses can accept optional keyword arguments during class definition to control aspects of type creation without cluttering the class namespace. When working with flexible functions that accept star args and double quarks, the inspect module's signature and parameter classes allow you to enforce calling conventions. By creating a signature object and binding it to passed arguments, you can validate that required arguments are provided and handle defaults appropriately. For dynamically creating classes, the types.newClass function provides a cleaner alternative to exec. This approach allows you to programmatically define classes with specific parent classes, metaclasses, and attributes while properly handling all initialization steps like underscore prepare. Context managers offer another form of metaprogramming for controlling the execution environment. The @ContextManager decorator from ContextLib provides a simple way to create context managers using a single function with a yield statement. Code before the yield executes as underscore enter, code after executes as underscore exit, and exceptions are handled automatically. These metaprogramming techniques showcase Python's flexibility as a language. While they should be used judiciously to avoid creating code that's difficult to understand, they provide powerful tools for reducing repetition, enforcing patterns, and creating domain-specific abstractions that make complex problems more manageable. As Python projects grow beyond a few files, organizing code into modules and packages becomes essential for maintainability. Python's import system provides a flexible framework for structuring code into reusable components while controlling how they interact. The basic building block is the module, simply a Python file containing definitions and statements. Modules provide their own namespace, preventing name collisions between different parts of your program. When you import a module, Python executes the file and makes its definitions available to your code. For larger projects, packages organize related modules into a directory structure. By creating directories with __init.py files, you establish a hierarchical namespace that mirrors your file organization. This structure enables imports like import_graphics.primitive.line or from_graphics.primitive.import_line, making it clear where each component belongs. Within a package, relative imports provide a way to reference sibling or parent modules without hard-coding the package name. Using syntax like from.import_grok or from.b.import_bar, you can create portable code that's easier to reorganize or rename without breaking import statements. To control which symbols are exported when users write from module import star, define an __all variable in your module that explicitly lists the exported names. This prevents internal implementation details from leaking into the importing module's namespace and provides a clear contract for what the module considers its public API. For large modules that need to be split across multiple files, convert them into packages with an __init.py file that imports and re-exports components from other files. This technique maintains a clean interface for users while allowing better code organization internally. The __init.py file can also contain initialization code that runs when the package is imported. Python 3.3 introduced namespace packages, which allow separate directories to contribute to a single package namespace without requiring __init.py files. This feature is particularly valuable for large frameworks that might be split into separately installable components while maintaining a unified namespace. For including data files with your package, the pkgutil.getdata function provides a portable way to access them, regardless of how the package is installed. This approach works even when packages are installed in compressed archive formats like zip files or eggs. When distributing your code, create a setup.py file with package metadata and a proper directory structure. The Setup Tools package extends Python's built-in distribution capabilities with features like dependency management, entry points, and more. These module and package techniques enable you to create well-organized code that's easy to understand, maintain, and distribute. By following Python's conventions for structuring code, you create projects that other Python developers can quickly comprehend and integrate into their own work. Concurrent programming, handling multiple operations simultaneously, is one of programming's most challenging domains. Python provides several approaches to concurrency, each with distinct strengths and appropriate use cases. Threads offer the most traditional approach to concurrency. The threading library allows you to create thread objects that run functions concurrently within the same Python process. While Python's global interpreter lock, GIL, prevents true parallel execution of Python code, threads remain effective for I/O-bound tasks where operations spend time waiting for external resources like networks or disks. For safe communication between threads, the Q module provides thread-safe data structures. Queues handle the necessary locking internally, allowing threads to exchange data without explicit synchronization code. This producer-consumer pattern forms the foundation of many concurrent designs, with threads placing data into queues for other threads to process. When threads need to access shared mutable state, the threading.lock class prevents race conditions by ensuring only one thread can modify the data at a time. The preferred syntax uses a context manager, with lock, critical section. For more complex synchronization needs, Python provides rlock for recursive locking, semaphore for limiting access, and condition for signaling between threads. To avoid deadlocks when acquiring multiple locks, always acquire them in a consistent order. The recipe demonstrates a clever deadlock avoidance strategy by sorting locks based on their object IDs before acquisition, ensuring consistent ordering regardless of how the code requests the locks. For CPU-bound tasks that need true parallelism, the multi-processing module provides a process-based approach that bypasses the GIL. The process pool executor from concurrent.futures offers a high-level interface for distributing work across multiple processes, often requiring minimal changes to existing code. Simply replace map with executor.map to parallel operations. The actor model provides another concurrency pattern where independent tasks, actors, process messages sent to them asynchronously. Each actor runs in its own thread and maintains private state, communicating with other actors only through message passing. This approach eliminates many traditional concurrency problems by avoiding shared state. For scenarios where threads would be too heavyweight, generators can implement cooperative multitasking, sometimes called green threads. By yielding control at appropriate points, generator-based tasks can be scheduled by a simple event loop. While this approach avoids thread overhead, it requires careful design to ensure long-running operations don't block the entire system. For network servers and other I/O-heavy applications, event-driven programming provides an efficient alternative to threads. By converting basic I/O operations into events handled by callbacks, a single thread can manage many concurrent connections. Libraries like Asynchronous in the standard library and third-party options like Twisted and Tornado implement this pattern with different APIs and capabilities. These concurrency models demonstrate that there's no one-size-fits-all solution for parallel programming. By understanding the strengths and limitations of each approach, you can choose the right tool for each specific problem, creating systems that are both efficient and maintainable.